God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Who are they saying that I am? It's the first question he asks. And then, who do you say that I am? So they're saying, Rabbi, they're saying that you're your cousin, John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Or maybe you're Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets, who is supposed to return before the Messiah, the Savior King, long-awaited Savior, comes to redeem and restore Israel. Or maybe you're Jeremiah. Well, who's Jeremiah? So 600 years before the time of Christ, God raises up a prophet, and the prophets, they have two words they speak. They speak words of judgment, and they speak words of grace. Within their word of judgment that God gives them is always hidden the word of grace, and within the word of grace is always hidden the word of judgment. Jeremiah is a particularly dour prophet. To this day, we call a Jeremiah. Have you ever heard that? A Jeremiah is it's a scathing critique, you know. It's like, this is going to be bad. So Jeremiah says to the people, if you keep on with your God-forgetting ways, disaster will overtake you. And God will raise up one of the other empires, one of the other kingdoms, and will use those people to visit his judgment upon you. And you'll be defeated in war, the gates of your city will be broken down, and you'll be led away captive into exile. And don't like what Jeremiah is saying. They don't pay any attention to him. They persecute him and reject him. When the clouds of war begin to gather, the people begin to panic. And the king turns to Jeremiah and he says, say some good word, lest we lose heart altogether. And Jeremiah says, too little, too late. God's judgment will certainly fall. You certainly will be defeated, and you certainly will be taken into exile. They don't like it very much. They throw him into a pit and leave him for dead. God rescues him from the pit. And everything that he said comes true. And Nebuchadnezzar comes, and he breaks down the walls of the city, and he breaks down the gates. He kills all the sons of the king, puts out the king's eyes, and then takes all the good people, most of the populace, just the old and the weak, he leaves. Takes them into exile in Babylon. Everything that Jeremiah said would happen, happened. The Bible says that's how you know a prophet is a real prophet, if what he says will happen, happens. But Jeremiah had also said, towards the end of his writings, he had also said, surely the judgment of God will come, but surely also the mercy of God will come. And there will come a day when God will redeem his people, when he will restore them, when he will lift them up, when he will bring them home and once again make them his people, his family, his kingdom of priests, his city set upon a hill, his light to the nations. Jeremiah says, the day will come, says the Lord. Surely it will come when you will seek me and you will find me. And I will restore you and heal you and make you my own again and carry you into the blessed city. They're there in exile for 70 years. And then the hope of Jeremiah begins to appear on the horizon, and God raises up another prophet, the prophet Isaiah. And God instructs this prophet, speak ye tenderly to my people. Comfort ye, my people. Tell them that the time of exile is over. Tell them that their warfare is over. Tell them that they're going home. Tell them they're going to be redeemed. Tell them they're going to be lifted up. They're going to be healed. They're going to be reconsecrated. They're going to be made once again into a holy people. They're going to be made God's people, God's family, his city set upon a hill, his light to the nations. How will it happen? And God says through Isaiah, Isaiah gives a very mysterious message. He says, it's going to happen through God's anointed one. The Christ. Christ is always the anointed one. A king, a servant. And this is a mysterious servant, because this servant, how is he going to do this? How is he going to restore the people? How is he going to make them great again? How is he going to make them a people that reflect God's glory? How is he going to do that? Is he going to be a brilliant general? Defeat all the enemies of the people? Is he going to stand at the head of an army of thousands? No, Isaiah says, God says through Isaiah, no, he's going to do this. My servant is going to do this by his suffering. He's going to stand between the people and the judgment upon their sins. And upon him will be laid the iniquity of us all. And by his stripes, we will be healed. Who are they saying that I am? Some are saying, Jeremiah, you're like him. We can maybe get the subtext. You speak such words of judgment. You say there's a day coming upon Jerusalem, and you'll wish you hadn't been born when that day comes. You look at the temple, and you say to your disciples, see this great building? There's going to come a day when not one stone will be left upon another. But then you say you're going to raise it up in 3 days. And you say that you come that they might have eternal life. And you tell these stories about unimaginably gratuitous forgiveness, mercy, and restoration. The prodigal son, and the father runs out to meet him. You're like Jeremiah. You speak a word of judgment, and you speak a word of grace. And how can there be judgment and grace at the same time? Well, there can be if the prophecy of Isaiah comes true. The suffering servant comes. And the judgment he takes upon himself. And the mercy he gives us. The people that Isaiah is talking to in the lesson that we have this morning are wondering the same thing. How can this be true? And God says through Isaiah, look, you know, you're weak, you're conquered, you're frail, but I am going to restore you. I did it once before. I did it through an old man. He was as good as dead, St. Paul says, Abraham. He was one, I made you many. And now St. Paul says to us, and through another one man, him hanging on a cross outside the city gate. Him one, we many, in and through him and his sacrifice, this suffering servant who has poured out his life, poured it out towards the Father for our sake and towards us for the Father's sake, that he might raise us up and heal us and redeem us and restore us. And make us once again into God's holy people, a kingdom of priests, city set upon a hill, light to the nations. So who are they saying that I am? And then he puts them on the spot. Who do you say that I am? And Peter summons the courage and he makes the first confession of faith. And it begins now with this confession of faith. With this reaching out in faith and grasping what God is doing for us in Jesus Christ the Lord, the rebuilding of the people, the rebuilding of the whole human race, the restoration of Adam and Eve, the remaking of our hearts and of our human community, it begins. It's grasped, it's recognized in this act of faith of Peter. But Jesus says, I don't want you to talk about it yet because you don't fully understand it. You've perceived the promise of Jeremiah's coming true. but you haven't yet perceived what Isaiah said. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Par Jonah, but the Spirit of God. We can only receive the Savior. We can only reach out and grasp Him. We can only make Him our own by the grace of God. God gives this grace to Peter, and He gives this grace to each one of us. And this is part of the grace that we received when we were baptized. But He doesn't yet fully know how it's going to work. He's Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah. And just before this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had asked Jesus for a sign. He said, no sign's going to be given to you except the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? The fish, that is death, grabbed him, held him for 3 days, and couldn't hold him. So they don't know yet the secret of the suffering servant. They don't know yet the secret of the new Jonah. They don't know about the saving death that wins for us the new life of the resurrection. So you'll understand it after the things that are going to happen in Jerusalem happen, but you're not to talk about it now. So He puts them on the spot, and He puts us on the spot. Who are they saying that I am? And the world then and the world now have many answers to who Jesus is. A guru, a teacher, a prophet, a spirit person. But who do you say that I am? We know now something they didn't know then. We know now something Peter didn't know then. We know that He's the suffering servant. We know that upon Him our iniquities have been laid. We know that by His stripes we are healed. We know that He has given Himself as a sacrifice for us, and He's poured Himself out completely and totally towards us for the Father's sake, and completely and totally, even unto death of the cross, to the Father for our sake. And by this great sacrifice of love, He's making us new, raising us up, and giving us new life, and fulfilling all the promises that God has ever made. So we can say with Peter, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can heed what St. Paul is saying to us when he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, because He has given Himself as a sacrifice for you, in and through and in Him, give yourself as a sacrifice to God and for each other's sake. Be tender and kind-hearted, and use whatever gifts God has given you for the building up of the fellowship. And for the strengthening of the witness that God has given us to make, that His salvation has gone out into all the world in our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.